Good afternoon, everyone. Boy, am I glad to see the rain. You get this water-soaked Scandahoovian, and I'll tell you, when it starts to heat up past 70, I start to melt. So am I grateful for the rain. So they say everybody likes Washington. Boy, I do. Haga. You're going to wonder, what are you doing to us, Carl? Haga is the Hebrew word for meditation. Vine's Concise Dictionary, the Hebrew Haga, shows to murmur in pleasure or anger, to ponder, to imagine, to mourn, to meditate, to mutter, to speak, to study, talk, or utter. It covers a lot. This word means to think about something in earnest, often to focus on thinking about future plans. Haga also expresses the growl of lions, and you can write this down, Isaiah 31:4. It also translates to the coo of doves in Isaiah 38:4. Just write those down. I have to go to them. Another explanation for meditation is, in this spiritual discipline, you intimately personalize a small portion of Scripture from a verse to a paragraph or so and read the passage several times and perhaps in different translations. Pray over it, break it down into the things that might teach, and ask God to show you Himself through the words. As you see, this covers a multitude of areas and concepts on the ways to meditate God's way. Let's see what God shows us, what His thoughts are. Let's all turn to Isaiah 55, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We are told to be of the same mind one toward another, which means that we develop and maintain the mind of Christ and His thoughts. Let's also turn to Philippians 2 and go to verse 1 to 5. Philippians 2, 1 to 5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. And then verse 5, your and my attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. But if my thoughts are contrary to God's, then I must exchange my thinking with God's. And for that purpose, He has given us His inspired word. We're to study the Scriptures for that to be effective, and one of the tools God has given us is Haga, godly meditation. This is to help our attitude to be the same as Jesus Christ, as we just read in verse 5. Let's turn to Joshua 1, and we're going to read verses 7 to 8 to see what God shows us about meditation. Joshua 1, verses 7 to 8. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Yeah. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Haga, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful. As we all know, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and also Deuteronomy 5, and also the church puts out a good book on the Ten Commandments, in which you have, and it suggests you read it. You know, once in a while, go through it, because there's a lot of things that come to mind, I know, and I did, that there's things in here that I forgot, truthfully. And it's good to review and go back over these things. David is also another one, has a lot to do with meditation. In Psalm 1-2, you don't have to turn there, but it's he zeroes right in on it. He says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, he hagas, day and night." An object of meditation means focusing on God's truth so that God is able to speak to us, to you and me, through his scripture and through his spirit, the thoughts that come to mind reflecting on God's commandments and how they relate to you and me. Our goal is to internalize and personalize God's word so it becomes how we think. It becomes our attitudes, how we live. It becomes our actions. It actually becomes you and me. Some of the objectives of meditation, I'll go into about three here. One is worship. David focused on God and his works in his life. You don't have to turn to it, but write down Psalm 77:12. And I'll read it. It says, "I will meditate," or hagos, "on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." It's a place or space in our lives that meditating with God, it means elevating the spiritual over the material issues of this world of hustle and bustle and coming and going. Second one gives us instruction. It's designed to improve our understanding of God's ways and word as it relates to our lives, each one of us. It's customized to us, what we can say. In Psalm 49:3, you don't have to turn to that either. Maybe you can write it down as well as look it up later. "My mouth will speak words of wisdom, and utterance from my heart will give understanding." Understanding comes from the heart. In Psalm 119:27, and some of these you don't have to look up because I'll just read them to you. "Let me understand the teaching of your precepts." Now, I didn't know what precepts really were either, so I looked that up, and it's the same thing as commandments. In fact, I think it goes into a little bit more than commandments. It goes into more of the spiritual side rather than the physical side. "Then I will meditate on your wonders," David says. Also in Psalm 119:97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night, all day long." Psalm 19:14. This goes into the understanding heart. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Meditating, we exchange our thoughts with God's. And number three, it helps us to change to God's way of life. In Psalm 4:4. Let's turn to Psalm 4:4. We'll do that. Just go a little bit more into this one. Psalm 4, verse 4. "You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil." And this part, second part. "With you, God, the wicked cannot dwell." So God is not compatible with evil or wickedness. Like oil and water, can't mix. In Psalm 119:15, don't have to go to there, but says David says, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." And then Romans 12:2. do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When should we meditate? Now, there's a couple areas here. Again, I'll just, you can jot them down, you don't have to turn there. Genesis 24, verses 62-63, where Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in Negev. He says, he went out of the field, to the field one evening to meditate, to haga. So I guess maybe we've all done that at times. I know at the feast sometimes I've gone out in a field, and sometimes at home, it just depends. Looked up to the sky and been able to meditate and to talk with God. So it says here you can go into a field. Isaac did. And David, it says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. How many times do we wake up during the night? How many times do we wake up and think about God and about his ways of life? In Joshua 1:8, it says, he meditates on it day and night. It's in our mind, in our hearts, in our whole being. The Haga definition showed to meditate in pleasure or anger. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and I said, how could I do this in anger if it has to do with meditation? Well, I looked up in Proverbs 8:13, let's turn there. Proverbs 8:13, Psalms, Proverbs. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Can I get angry at evil? You betcha. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. So if there is an aspect of things that you can get angry at something. I thought when I was going through a issue a while back with an anger problem, I thought I was never going to be able to get angry again. I thought that was wrong. It was the wrong way to be. But I found out later that's not true. You can get angry at sin. I'll give you a little story. I remember one time during the days of unleavened bread, this has been about 30 years ago, when I was living with Mr. Frank Johnsrud in Tacoma. He used to have us, a lot of the people that weren't married yet, come and live with him. It was kind of a place that we could stay. I remember sitting in the living room when all of a sudden this terrible stomping and racket came from the kitchen. Man, it scared the starch out of me. I went up and I got up and I said, Frank, what's going on? What's the deal? I mean, I thought he might have found a rat or something he was stepping on. You know, who knows what that aspect was. That's kind of what my thinking was at that time. Anyway, I was looking at what he was doing, and he was stomping on a box of crackers that he found had leavening in it. Well, that kind of brought it home in a lot of ways as I thought about that throughout the years. I says, he was really angry at sin. I mean, he was upset. It scared the starch out of me enough to be able to remember it for 30 years. Anyway, I had to ponder on that. And I thought about that for all these times. And I thought, too, I can hate sin like that. In fact, that helps me to get rid of sin by hating sin. So Haga also expresses the growl of lions. So I said, you can kind of blend it in with that. When you take quiet time and think about our future with Christ, time seems to fly by. Sabbath morning, I just like to sit quietly listening to music, and this is kind of speculation on my part. Imagine what it would be like when Jesus Christ returns at the Feast of Trumpets. From the time the Feast of Trumpets is to the Day of Atonement, now this is speculation on my part, so bear with me a little bit. During this time, we're going to have a transition period when we're going to be changed, not only be in God's family, but we're going to be taken over the governments of not only Satan, but of this world. Up to the Day of Atonement, we'll all be at one with God. From the time of the Feast of Trumpets, I kind of think that's going to happen. But we're going to be told what we're going to be doing and what our job's going to be. Also, can you imagine not having to vote again? Can you imagine not having to be a part of that system where God's going to be in charge and everybody's going to have a job? Everybody is going to be a part of that process, and we'll be doing it God's way for quality forever. What about preparing for God's Sabbath? It'll be all week, enjoying the fact that we're going to have a Sabbath we're all going to be enjoying, not just the very few. Everybody on the face of the earth will be enjoying the Sabbath, preparing for it, not only just on Friday, but throughout the week, thinking about that, and then what we're going to be doing, and the family relationships, and the togetherness, and the awesome, awesome way with God. The others in our family have since passed will be there as well. Just ponder this. Haga this. We'll have our permanent places of worship when everyone will be able to worship God in the right way. Sabbaths and holy days. New heaven and new earth. No more pockmarked planets. No more earthquakes, black holes, perfection. All things will finally be at one with God forever. Perfect harmony. A person can really get detailed with this vision. It's awesome, brethren, to be able to vision in the future that this whole world will have a way of life that will be with God. In conclusion, let's turn to Colossians 3 and verse 1 and go to verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 1, and go to verse 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Haga. It's really, would be in the Greek, so I'm not going to say haga there. But it means the same. It's meditation. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died when you're baptized, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's all haga on these things.